You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Honey, we just had Jennifer Grey on
podcast. How cool is that?
I don't know about you. I was a little bit like starstruck when I realized we were going to have this interview, only because I was a big Dirty Dancing fan, but also I don't know how many people I've known over the years that I've had to watch that movie with.
Right.
You know, I mean, and so just out of default, I feel like it's probably one of the movies I've seen the most because people are very attached to the love story of it.
Mm-hmm. I think when we are so familiar with a character
right,
like that, to meet the real life person that represents that character is just like—
it's a trip,
it's
right?
a trip, yeah.
Because
yeah.
you feel like you know them. But you don't.
Well, it was a little bit like when we had Soleil Moonfry on, mm-hmm. who was Punky Brewster.
And John Cryer.
Yeah, and John Cryer.
The first time I met John, I was just, I was talking like this.
Right.
So nervous because, and you know, we live in Los Angeles. And if you don't live in Los Angeles, it's, you see people all the time
that
you've seen on television. And you're rarely starstruck. And I am surprised when I am because I do like to give people the opportunity to live an autonomous life.
Mm-hmm.
Without pointing my finger at them, but it was pretty cool to meet her in person.
Yeah.
And thank goodness you'd read the book because there was a lot to go over.
Well, there was a lot to go over. I didn't get to talk about everything that I wanted to talk about in detail.
I know.
From the book.
You guys got along pretty well, though.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, she and I had met years ago, and we've gotten together a few times since then. And
I didn't realize that it took 3 years for us to get this interview together.
Or yes,
two,
it did.
Two, anyway.
Yeah. No, it was basically three.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that you guys hung in there. That ball took a long time to come back.
So, you know, you mentioned Dirty Dancing. I had not seen Dirty Dancing until right before we interviewed Jennifer. I'm one of the very few people in the country.
She seemed surprised.
She did seem surprised, but
I was surprised you told on yourself.
I had to be honest. I had to be honest, but I loved it.
I know, you did.
If I didn't love it, I don't think I would have said anything. Yeah.
And, you know, you and I, again, somebody else I knew had to watch it. So I watched it again with
you. Right,
right. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching you watch it, and I enjoyed reliving the story. And we were struck by another show we had seen.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Which is up for a couple Emmys.
The entire fourth season, I think.
I think it was the third season.
Is it third or fourth? I'd have to look it up. But it took place at a camp, a summer camp with a family, and it very much resembled the whole Dirty Dancing story. Remember, how many times did I turn to you and go, honey, this is the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel story?
Yes, yes. The whole thing about her kind of having this side gig and needing to leave the camp to go, and baby has to go and do this tango at another resort.
And it's this kind of coming of age kind of storyline too, where baby is finding her way to make choices for herself, regardless of her father, which Midge was doing as well.
Midge, thank you. I can't remember her name.
No, that's all right. And it was just striking. I was enchanted with it because it was so familiar, and we were huge fans.
Right, and then when we looked it up, we found out that they actually shot some of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel at the same place that they shot, the second location where they shot Dirty Dancing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that I had kinship to this movie was that it was shot in Virginia.
Yes.
Which is where I'm from originally. And of course, when I was from Virginia, we took large ownership in things that made it into Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, they came here and did that. That's pretty rad.
So wait, if someone didn't know who Jennifer Grey was, what two movies would you say to them to get them to know who she was?
Well, I always forget that Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes,
Preceded?
Yes.
Yes, it preceded Dirty Dancing.
Right, and that's a really iconic role for her, right?
I mean, that was such a great role.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like there are so many memes.
People still quote that movie all the time.
Bueller. And she was like the one you love to hate in that movie because she was his character foil.
Right.
She and the principal were both his character foils, right. But she wanted him caught as much as the principal did.
She helped us to watch him get caught. Like,
yes.
she was the audience's channel.
So yes.
Like, see? Look, yeah. Bueller.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
The book that she wrote, which is incredible, it's called Out of the Corner. That's an On My Nightstand that you guys just heard. And if you missed that one, go back and listen to it, because yeah. Now you've heard her interview. you've heard us talking about it. Go back and listen to Out of the Corner. But in her memoir, when she opens the memoir, she opens it with her nose job, rhinoplasty that she had.
Mm-hmm. This was something I was unaware of.
Yeah.
I did not even know this story.
Right. And it's a big deal because she has this a nose that you recognize in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She has the same nose in Dirty Dancing. Then she had this rhinoplasty, and you have to read the memoir. I think
it changed the way she looked to a point where she was unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, and not in a bad way. She's a gorgeous lady, yeah.
But she was not recognizable as Jennifer Grey. Right. So, yeah, that changed everything for her. It changed the whole trajectory of her career.
Yes, and she goes on to tell the story about how she struggled with sort of trying to get it right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really a brave piece to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed your conversation with her about it.
Yeah.
I actually didn't also know that she was married to Matthew Broderick.
Engaged.
Oh, they got engaged.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they were in a very serious car accident the summer that Dirty Dancing released.
Yeah, that's so true. It's detailed in her memoir, Out of the Corner, but there's a chapter called Ireland. Matthew is Broderick, very Irish mm-hmm. last name. He's Jewish, too. He's like Jewish and Irish, which I didn't know. But they had been dating at that point. I don't know if they were engaged at that point or not, but they had been dating. And they were leaving to pick up his mother from the airport.
Okay.
It was raining really hard. Matthew always drove there because they drive on the opposite side of the road from us.
Mm-hmm.
And she remembers like digging through a bag of cassette tapes on the floor. I'm sure you've
had
that memory.
Those.
Yes. Yeah. Like looking for the right tape, right? And I think there was a certain song they were trying to play. Jennifer, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you'll correct me.
Well, I just imagine driving a car in the rain, going through a cassette bag.
Yes.
And then looking for a particular song on a cassette tape.
It's
quite an accomplishment.
So basically, they're on this road on what feels like the other side to her, but it's really the correct side there. And she's head down digging through this bag of tapes on the floor. And the next thing she knows, everything goes white. There's the sound of an accident. You've heard the sound of an accident before.
Quite a few, yes.
Yeah. Can you describe it?
It's like everything goes in slow motion except for the sound, which goes into like a over volume, like everything's cranked up really loud.
Right. So it's screeching, it's metal.
It's
crunching.
It's deafening, and everything else is silenced except the destruction that's occurring around you.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of suspended in this place where she doesn't know, she didn't see what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happened is they have gone off the road. I believe the car flipped and it was a two-car collision. She's able to get out. But Matthew is unconscious.
Mm.
And this is pre-cell phones.
Right. So there's no.
Because what are we talking, 1986?
1987.
So yeah, there's no way to call. And they're out in kind of in the middle of nowhere. So eventually and blissfully, someone does stop. I think she's able to get Matthew out of the car.
Mm.
But the ambulance finally comes and then they're taken to the hospital.
I mean, and this accident was severe enough that she has still had many, many surgeries.
Yes.
A spinal situation that she's been trying to correct over the years.
Really damaged. You know, she has the numbers of the vertebrae. Mm-hmm. You know, she can rattle them off to you. But basically, once she gets to the hospital and she's waiting for him, he's in surgery, she sees that two people have died in a head-on collision.
On the news?
On the news.
Oh, wow.
And she asked the nurse, was that part of the accident that we were involved in, because she didn't see another car. And later on, she finds out that it was.
Wow.
That mother and daughter had been on the road. Their car had gone off the road, which is why she never saw them.
Right. That makes sense.
And they hadn't survived. They succumbed to their injuries. So it was a physical toll. But for both Matthew and Jennifer, it was a really emotional toll. And she talks about that really, really well. In the book, it's quite powerful, that whole section.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating interview. It could have gone on for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Honestly. Baby was her name in the movie.
Yes.
Out of the Corner was a quote from the movie.
Well, nobody puts baby in the corner was the quote for the movie.
Okay.
And so what she did was she took that and she's come out of the corner in this memoir.
Right. Yeah. One more quick little story that you could tell real quick. The big jump in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Is something that I didn't realize there's a whole story behind that. So the whole, her learning to dance during the filming of the movie, and then there's this big move for the climax of the dance scene. But the reality was that this big move was a big deal for her, even to learn, much less to do for the scene, right?
Yeah, so she was a dancer. She wasn't like Baby, where she had never danced before. She had definitely danced.
Well, but I thought she actually, that's another thing. She did a great job in the movie of pretending like she didn't know how to dance.
Yes, yes, that was acting.
Mm-hmm, really good.
But she was afraid of that big jump. And that was like the last thing she wanted to do. And so it very much mirrored Baby's experience in the movie.
She had that real fear.
Yeah.
And then I think there was a real celebration on the set. Probably when.
I would imagine so. Yeah.
It added to that whole vibe that occurred. If you've ever seen the cover, I think there are many covers with her being held above Patrick Swayze.
Oh, like on the movie poster?
Yeah, the movie posters.
Oh, yeah.
So read the book, check it out. It's a fascinating, listen to the interview.
Mm-hmm.
You and her have a great rapport between you, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you. What a great episode that was. Honey, can we take a minute and just thank all our new Patreons?
Yes. I mean, it's their dollars that help support the podcast, right?
It is. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. We're so grateful. Every time someone new joins, we do like a happy dance.
And we love making content for you.
We do. And we hope you're enjoying all the access to all that exclusive content, the storytelling video series that we're doing.
Yeah, it's really good. You guys need to get in on that.
Yes, you do. And the monthly Zoom hangs.
Right? The Zoom hangs are cool. We want more of you guys to join us.
Yes.
Monthly memberships start at just
$5. $5.
Yeah, I don't know what anyone can buy for $5 a month anymore.
Right, that's facts.
Uh-huh. But you get Zoom hangs with us. It's our favorite Zoom of every month.
It is.
And so, honey, which of our Patreons are we shouting out today?
First up is Mercedes Cusick, LMFT, licensed trauma therapist. She's a certified EMDR therapist, and this means that Mercedes has advanced training in complex and developmental trauma. And she's doing something really special called EMDR intensives.
Right. And in case you didn't know, because I didn't know this, that EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Simply by stimulating both sides of the brain, it helps heal the brain and desensitizes traumatic or upsetting memories.
Yeah. I mean, I was just telling a very busy friend of ours about this, right?
I remember this.
Yeah. And she said, I need EMDR. But I just don't have the time. So I told her about how Mercedes offers an individualized concierge curated program. And her EMDR intensives range from half a day to several days, but are the equivalent of, get this, hon, 2 to 6 months of weekly therapy.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you told our friend that EMDR has been used to effectively treat a wide range of mental health problems, but there's no need to talk extensively about disturbing experiences. And because this intensive format decreases treatment time, it also saves her considerable money in the long run.
Exactly. So if you want to start feeling better now, then EMDR intensives are the way to go. And California residents, click the link in our show notes to find the link to Mercedes Cusick's website and book your EMDR intensive today. That's Mercedes Cusick, LMFT, licensed trauma therapist. She's located in Woodland Hills, California. See our show notes for the website, www.mercedescusick.com.
Right on. So what's new with the How to Do the Pot podcast?
I'm so glad you asked.
Mm-hmm.
So previous guest, Ellen Scanlon. We love Ellen.
Ellen, yep.
Hey, Ellen.
Shout out.
Right? Shout out to Ellen. Her How to Do the Pot podcast is demystifying cannabis use for women. Last month, they released their new Sleep 101 series, which is really dope, you guys. In these short episodes, real women share how cannabis helps women fall asleep, stay asleep, and not wake up with a weed hangover.
No weed hangover? You gotta love that.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And on the regular episodes of How to Do the Pot every week, you can listen to fun, short episodes that answer all the questions women secretly Google about cannabis.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. How to Do the Pot shares women's personal stories and advice from experts with help from solutions around stress, sleep, sex, and chronic pain, with the goal of helping women feel more confident in their choices about cannabis. If you're ready for practical advice about weed by women for women, listen to How to Do the Pot wherever you get your podcasts.
Right on. Hey, next up is Cute Booty Lounge. Cute Booty was a concept born in Kelly Nishimoto's garage in 2004.
Right. And speaking of by women for women, right?
Yeah, she is by women and for women.
Yeah. Because she was looking to make pants that embrace a woman's curves, particularly the what?
The booty.
The booty. Yep. Yeah. But they still be polished enough to go from workout to night out.
Oh, they're gorgeous. You wear them. Young people wear them. Your mom rocks them.
My mom rocks them. Mm-hmm. And her signature, the signature of her cute booty leggings, are the patented scrunch booty pockets. And Cute Booty Lounge is made, like we said, by women for women right here in the USA. The company is incredible. It's female and minority owned. So go to cutebooty.com in our show notes and order yours today. And what do people always say about me when I wear those leggings, hon?
Cute booty.
Cute booty. Mm-hmm. And next up is Kathleen Hahn.
Kathleen Hahn, big shout out to you on the East Coast.
Big shout out, Kathleen. Yep. Thank you for being our Patreon.
We are so happy to have you and keep spreading the word.
And we'd really love to see you on one of our Zoom hangs soon. And that goes for all of you. If you haven't joined our Patreon yet, please do so we can see you on a Zoom hang. And if you are a Patreon, come and hang with us like Kathleen will.
Yeah, thank you guys for all your support. We are really grateful.
Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avon House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Dear stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.